welcome back to the Campus Chronicle podcast. We are back with Ben. This is going to be a short one because he has to run for class in a little bit.
Yeah, little today, short one for you guys.
We're going to talk about my Milwaukee Northwest experience of the game and about MLK Day, guys.
Yep.
No school Monday. Don't come to school Monday.
Do not come to school. All right, so getting into Milwaukee Northwest, Jaden, we went to a Milwaukee Northwest game together. We saw my Wolves come out with the Wellhart, the girls and boys teams coming out with a victory. And speaking of the boys team, domination.
Dominated.
Did it was a dunk fest.
He threw a reverse lob to him.
It was a dunk fest out there in Milwaukee, Iowa at the Northwest gym. So, Jaden, what was your experience like in a Northwest game? Because it was loud in there, and thank God we won. Yeah. I told Jaden this. I think Jaden's a good luck charm. I mean,
I might be. The girls team won.
Yeah, we've never beat Dowling in our history, and they beat him now. I think it's good for you, man. But what was your experience like at a Northwest game?
It was a pretty cool game. Like I basically watched like the first half of the girls game alone, just standing there. You know,
yeah,
it was a pretty good environment and experience. You know, like who they played, Dowling. Dowling had their own cheerleader over there, right?
So he even had his name on his shirt.
So like it was a pretty cool experience. You know. They both got the win for me.
W ski.
It was a really good experience and atmosphere. Like they had the trophies all over, all the banners and everything.
Yep. And I'm glad we came out the victory, right? Because I think you're the good luck charm. But to see the way the Northwest played against Dowling, it was just so dominant, man. I mean, Colin Rice and Landon Davis were dunking the heck out of those rims, man. Like it was Def Jam out there, man. Like it was
the one guy got in at the end. They didn't give him the ball.
Dalton got in. Shout out Dalton, man.
They were chanting for Dalton, man.
And he finally Watson put him in with like what, 30 seconds left. Yeah. He finally came in.
They didn't
in.
Even give him the ball though.
No, and I mean, I think he plays basketball to like help him because he's going to Wake Forest. It helps basketball and wrestling help you a lot with football just because of like footwork and stuff like that. But yeah, man, what a game! What a game by Milwaukee Northwest Wolves, and
it was a blowout,
absolute domination, BTA, as people would like to say. I told Jaden we gotta get you another game. We gotta get you the Milwaukee versus Milwaukee Northwest game at Milwaukee Fieldhouse. Hopefully we can try to get to that game. It's going to be packed. Wolves fans, I hope to see all of you guys there. We need to show them who's better because obviously our Wolves are better, right? We beat them last time at home, but a good team goes in there and wins, right? A good team proves that they're better and that they win on home and on the road. That's what a good team does. And Northwest is the better team. And I believe that my Wolves will go in there and that they will go in to Milwaukee Fieldhouse and get a win. And, sorry, man, great experience. I'm glad I got to go with you and got to experience Wolves victories. So, yeah, man, in the NFL world, man, John Harbaugh going to the New York Giants. I texted you this the other day. I thought he was going to go to the Browns, but I'm not surprised that he went to the Giants just because of, you know, Jackson. I think the main key for him is going to be to develop Jackson Dart, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he develops Jackson Dart.
Yeah, Dart, Scadaboo, Malik Nabers.
I mean, can you imagine those guys are all healthy, man? And
he got some weapons.
He's a great coach, and I can't wait to see how he's going to change the scheme, kind of like Ben Johnson changed the scheme with the Bears. And, you know, this is the right hire by the Giants, right? Because for so many years, the Giants hadn't hired a guy that was a head coach before, not just a head coach, a good head coach. You know, John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl. He knows what it's like to win at the highest level, and he's been there, right? And if you're the Giants, if you're a Giants fan, man, you guys should be very, very excited.
They have a good defense too.
I know they Ryan do. And if he can bring in his guys and to get in there to hire the right people, and it's a great move. And I'm very happy for the Giants, even though I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Bears fan, but
Mike Tomlin stepping down too.
I think that was
about that?
That was well expected.
Yeah.
You know, I think Steelers fans, you know, all they cared about was, oh, he's never had a losing season.
Oh, we have a winning record this season, but then we get blown out in the playoffs.
Yeah, just like with the Iowa, right? Oh, Kirk Ferentz, eight wins is good every year. You know, we're just going to leave it at that. But no, like, I think Mike Tomlin did the right thing. I think Mike Tomlin realized that, hey,
step down before you get fired.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, I'm not going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon, so why not just step down because it's the same thing every year. And Steelers fans are mad, and they have all the right to be mad. You know, if I'm a Steelers fan, as I am an Iowa Hawkeye fan, I'm tired of 8 wins every year. I mean, I know you are too. I mean, I told my dad this yesterday. Like, when is it going to change? Like, it's never going to change when Kirk is there, and it's never going to change when Mike Tomlin was there. And so, yeah, man, just We'll see who's yours higher. I mean, I'm interested to see who.
Because they still have his contract like for 2 years.
I don't know if NFL contracts are guaranteed, but I know colleges are, which is crazy. But yeah, another breaking news in the college football world. Dante Moore is returning.
He's returning.
If I'm him, I don't blame him one bit. I mean, I don't want to go to the Jets. I really don't. But I don't want my career to be ruined.
The thing is, like, he's going to be surprised when next year they always will have a top three pick.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah. But
he's just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm him, I come back, right? And if I'm Dylan, I text you this. If I'm Dylan Rayola, I'm getting out of Eugene as much as I can.
I talked to my brother about this the other, like last night. He said he thinks that he's going to stay there because Dante Moore did the same thing behind behind Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan
Gabriel. Yep, so he's going to sit 1 year, like get everything in, and then become like he's going to redshirt. But I think the best option for him, he's ready already to go to another college. Like
Rayola?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he should go to a different college.
I thought that he knew something that we didn't.
Yeah, I thought he already knew Dylan. I mean, Dante was going to the draft.
Yeah. But, I mean, if I'm Dante Moore, I mean, that's a great move, right? You know, Oregon, he has unfinished goals. He wants to win the Heisman.
Get another year of experience.
You know, he could win the Heisman next year. I think he's going to be a finalist for the Heisman. Him and Arch Manning and Sam Leavitt, I think he's going to be right up there. And if I'm him, I want to go. I want to win the championship next year. And that's my goal. And I don't blame him one bit. I was kind of surprised that he came back. But I'm not really surprised at all, to be honest with you. And just in terms of, like, how... what happened after the Indiana game, and he like kind of left a sour taste in his mouth. You know, I'm not really surprised one bit. And yeah, like you said, it would be interesting to see what happens with Rayola if he, you know, goes somewhere else or if he stays.
Just like Dante did. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's crazy. You know, it's very interesting times in college football. And speaking of that, we need to get into our national championship game preview. The Miami Hurricanes, the U, are playing at their home stadium. Against the Indiana Hoosiers. Let's give your pick. Who do you think is winning? And I think I already know this, but just tell the people who you want to win.
Indiana by 50.
I think Indiana will win by 30. I just think they're just too good, man. I mean,
if I want to be realistic, Indiana by like 17.
I think Miami will have.
Like Miami's going to put up a fight, but
because
they're
of
still,
their fans.
Yeah,
they're going to have. Like, that's the one thing I'm worried about this game is Miami going to have the edge because of their fans?
Like, atmosphere and all the like, they're basically playing at home.
Yeah,
like,
that is their home stadium.
Because, like, Indiana has filled the stadium the previous games. Have you seen, like, it was 80%?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. You know what's crazy is that Fernando Mendoza is coming back home. He grew. I saw a video the other day. It's like Fernando Mendoza at a Miami camp, like, speaking to people. And he grew up watching, Brad, what was that? Brad Kaya. He grew up watching him, and like he was a diehard Miami fan. And you know, Mario Cristobal was actually a coach at Miami. He was like an offensive line coach, and like I think Mendoza didn't get recruited to go to Miami, but I think he grew up like 5 minutes away from Hard Rock Stadium. And man, can you? It's gonna be so fun when I see Fernando Mendoza lifting that college football playoff trophy in his home stadium.
We did this for Indiana, guys. Hoosier Nation. I want to thank the men above. I want to thank Coach. What's his coach's name?
I want to thank Coach Cignetti for the opportunity coming here for 1 year.
Thank you, God.
And shout out Miami. This is my hometown. I love you guys, man. I have all my family in town. All glory to God, man. And
he's just so interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be so much fun to see. You know, just him winning it and. In his hometown. And you know, I do think Miami will keep it close in the first quarter, but like, you know how it was close, like at first
you can only hold Indiana for so long.
Yeah, and they're just gonna start. If Indiana gets out to like a 20-3 lead, they're gonna win the game. I don't see how they're gonna lose that game. And but like I've told people this, the more you take advantage of the opportunities, the more you beat them, right? The more times that you take advantage of them, you know, not scoring or them fumbling, you're going to win the game. And I truly do believe Indiana's going to win. And I want Indiana to win just because of how bad they've been. You know, historically how bad they've been. You know, they were 2-10 2 years ago, right? And even with Michael Penix, they weren't that good. And, you know, I still remember the game when Michael Penix came into Kinnick Stadium and Riley Moss, his daddy, picked him off twice. And just that stadium, I was actually, in the garage of my house. This was my freshman year of high school, and I just remember it. I did not think I was going to win, but Riley Moss, man, and what a player he was. But yeah, I'm just can't wait to hear Fernando Mendoza hold up the trophy. All glory to God, man. I want to thank Coach Cignetti. I want to thank Miami, this is my town, this is my people. And him right next to Alberto, who, you know, is his younger brother, obviously.
Younger brother being
younger,
his backup.
Yeah, younger brother being his backup and being from Miami, too. And, you know, I think Fernando wants to win this for his mom, right? And just how historically his mom is going through some things. But, yeah, man, it's cool. And
Indiana by 17. I got final score.
I'm going to say
35-18.
I'm going to say Indiana wins 40-17.
I got 35-18. I got...
No. 35-10. I think Indiana handles business. I think it'll be close at first, but then Indiana will do what
they
do. They're
going to run away.
They're going
to
run away.
35-18, and I got Elijah Surratt. That's his name?
Is it MVP?
No, I got him getting a hat trick, but Fernando's going to get MVP.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to throw four touchdowns.
Least.
300 yards.
By Chicago Bears. Took care of the Green Bay Packers, man. FGB, man, forever and always. I think we've talked about this before, but it feels good, right? And did you see what Packers fans, what they wanted to do for Ben Johnson? Sign a petition? Are you serious? Packers fans are so soft, man. But when Aaron Rodgers does the, I still own you. You know what I mean? Like, when the Packers fans do, like when Aaron Rodgers said, I still own you. Like, that's okay? Like, Packers fans are so hypocritical, and it annoys me. And Packers fans, enjoy Cancun. Because Ben Johnson is not apologizing. He's not taking back what he said. You know, he means every minute of it, right? Ben Johnson said, you know, screw those guys, man. Like, he means that. And he's not taking it back. And if I'm Ben Johnson, I don't listen to what Matt LaFleur says, you know? And I truly love having a coach that does that stuff, right? I love a coach that, you know, says, hey, man, you know, these guys aren't good. And you know what he said? I enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Ben's a man of his word, man. He's a man of his word. I got to give Ben Johnson credit.
It might have took him to the playoffs, but he beat him
twice.
Yeah,
he still did it. And I told people this. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm going all in next year. Whatever it takes to land Max Crosby. Because I've told people this. The Bears are one superstar edge rusher away from winning the Super Bowl. They are. I mean, you can't keep doing this every single game where your defense just doesn't blitz the quarterback. Like, it's got to end, man. We got to get a superstar edge rusher. Poles, you got to sign somebody, man. We've waited long enough. You said we're going to take the North and we're never going to look back. This is your time to go out and get Max Crosby, because he doesn't want to play for the Raiders anymore. And if I'm him, I don't either. And if I'm Mendoza, I think he should come back, but I think he will go pro. But yeah, man, it's exciting times. You know, as a Bears fan my whole life. So I really started following the Bears in 2018. The 2018 season was Matt Nagy's first year, and been a diehard ever since. And I'm so proud of this team, how hard we fought, because, you know, when we're down in these games, Ben Johnson could have said, oh, we're done. You know, we lost these games. Let them have the win. But no, for them to fight back and win those games like that, it just shows you the type of team that they are, right? Because the old Bears teams would have just given up. With Matt Eberflus, I saw it so many times last year against the Lions, against the Packers, against the Redskins. I mean, against the Commanders. That game broke my heart as a Bears fan. And to see this, what's going on now with Caleb Williams, how much he's transcended from this year to last year, and just his confidence in coming back. And Caleb Williams in the fourth quarter, the game's not over. He doesn't care if it's 100-0. Game's not over until the clock is zero. And I love that approach. But if you're the Bears, please come out strong against the Rams. You know, Stafford is going to win MVP this year. And I saw some. It's like, if you're the Rams, why would you not want to travel here, like, on Wednesday to get ready for the cold weather? You know, if you're the Rams, it'd be silly for you not to travel to Chicago to stay the night in a hotel and then, you know, practice at a high school field to get ready for the cold. But Stafford's been in the cold. I mean, he played against the Bears for so many years, and I think he's used to it. But Chicago weather's nothing like LA weather. I mean, those guys they think 30 degrees is, they think 50 degrees is cold.
They'd be wearing coats in like 60 degree weather.
Yeah, like people in Florida too. You think 50 degrees is cold? Wait till you have like -2 degrees. But yeah, man, it's a fun time as a Chicago Bears fan. I just can't believe we're in the division round of the playoffs, and it's exciting. You know, it makes me feel good knowing that. When I see a Packers fan now, I can say, you guys are not good. And, you know, because we beat them twice, and we won a division. And, you know, what's crazy is that the Bears and the Patriots could go to the Super Bowl again. And the last time we played was 1986, 40 years ago. And the 85 Bears won the Super Bowl. So, you know, it'd be crazy if the Bears could play the Patriots again in the Super Bowl. And, you know, it'd be even crazier if the Bears played against the Broncos, because my younger brother is a Broncos fan, and I'm a Bears fan, so there'd be a lot of arguing in the house, you know, and all that stuff. But, yeah, man, I'm just so excited for my Chicago Bears, and I'm just We saw that guy out there who's a Rams fan. He was wearing a Puka Nacua jersey. I don't mind the Rams. I really don't. I think McVay is a great coach, and obviously he's won the Super Bowl. And
it's a great team.
Yeah, Kansas basketball, man. BTA the crap out of Iowa State.
Number three, Iowa State.
Okay, let me get this out of the way. For all you Iowa State fans out there, you guys are not the number one team. Just because you beat Purdue doesn't mean you're the number...
They were number two at the time.
Yeah, dude. You're acting like that you're the number two team because you beat Purdue. Like, Purdue is the most overrated team in the country. Yeah, Iowa lost to them, but like, Iowa's still adjusting to the Big Ten with all their players that they have with Ben McCollum.
Right? Like, Michigan's just lost to Wisconsin, and they're still better than Iowa State.
Yeah, oh, 100%. 1,000%. And I just think that like, it felt good, right? Because when my Iowa Hawkeyes lose to them, I always can rely on Kansas to beat them. And it feels good, you know, destroying them at home. And I told people this, that's a setting stone for the season. We got to play like that, because KU plays tonight against Baylor at home. And I want to see them play like that. Baylor's unranked. If you can beat the number two team in the country, supposedly number two team, in the country at home, if you can play like that against them, I think you can play like that against Baylor. You should have no problem handling Baylor tonight. You should have no problem handling them. And I don't want to see Kansas come out, you know, losing the game, right? Get out to a quick start. Get out, hit threes. Get out and just dominate. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have, because you don't get many opportunities, right? And yeah, man. So
final thing, Super Bowl predictions.
Man. Here's my wants and my needs, right? I want the Bears to go, but I don't think they will. I just don't think their defense is going to hold up. I'm going to say Seahawks and Broncos. And match of 2014. I just realized that. I think Seahawks win. I just think Sam Darnold, Vikings never should have got rid of him. But yeah.
I think both number one teams are going to go down this weekend. Because, ooh,
I've seen people, I think the Bills could go in there.
Like college football, like, an extra week of rest sounds good for you, but that extra week that you're getting off, like, there's no like real time games, like, you're not up to speed, your body's like kind of getting like run down a little bit, like, you're not used to it, you know?
And real quick, the Iowa women won against Oregon last night, great game. And
I watched that.
Yeah, so shout out.
I got Bills Rams. I got Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes on the playoffs.
Okay,
Bills Rams.
But can you imagine all those Rams fans packing in there? I mean, they're going to be... Okay, so go Indiana Hoosiers. They're going to win. I want the Bears to win.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Hopefully that they win. I don't know if they're going to get the Super Bowl. I hope that they do, but I don't think they are. No class on Monday. Do not come in. Do not show up. It is MLK Day.
Celebrate MLK.
Watch our news video. Did you add me to collaborate on that? Okay, so... Do not come in, because nobody will be here. We will not be here. We will be watching the Indiana game. Indiana dominate.
Shout out Fernando.
Heisman Doza. Do your thing, man. You're a great quarterback. And hopefully Kansas gets a win tonight against Baylor. And great time to be a Wolves fan for sure. So yeah, see you guys on Wednesday, man. It's gonna be a long time, but have a great weekend. And do not show up on Monday.
Don't show up. See you guys next time. Actually, we are back.
Yep,
not have class.
Yep, I did not. We're going to be talking a lot of sports with you guys today, and
we're going to continue the conversation.
Yeah, so what were your thoughts on the Iowa women last night? You know, what did you think about... I watched the entire game as a diehard fan myself. Man, Ava Hyden, man, she's a dog.
She's a dog.
She missed a couple shots here and there. I feel like the thing with Hyden is like, she kind of just chucks it up sometimes, where she doesn't like pump fake and go up.
Like, she doesn't think about it. She just puts it up.
Yeah, but otherwise, she's amazing. And Stolke is... I don't think Stolke's elite. I think she's good.
Yeah.
But...
like with Caitlin Clark made players around her look elite.
But Kate Martin, I think she made Kate Martin look elite too. But it's Caitlin Clark, the best college player of all time. I mean, you know.
What was that, 5 wins in a row now?
Yeah, 15-2, man.
Maddie Deal played good too,
bro. I've been telling you, she should be starting. I mean, no offense to Taylor McCabe, but I think Taylor McCabe should be going off the bench.
Yeah, she's really just like a shooter for real. Like,
yeah, she. I don't worry. I swear to God, all I've seen in Taylor McCabe's career is just her shooting. I don't think I've seen her drive to the paint one time.
I don't think I've ever seen her in the paint.
No, not one time. But like, if you're Jan, man, like, Addie Deal's coming on the right time. She's coming on when Iowa needs her to, and Iowa should have. Do you agree? Iowa should have won by a lot more last night. I mean, they played so sloppy. But like my dad said, like for you to win and for you to play sloppy put says something, right? Says something about your team, says something about, you know, everything, man. And just, yeah, I'm so proud of how Iowa played. And, yeah, man, just, you know, looking forward to the season for the Hawks. And, yeah.
Chit-Chat Wright's pretty good, too.
Oh, she's a dog. She's, I mean, all those great point guards. Caitlin, Lucy Olsen for 1 year. Now Chit-Chat. Two out of the three were transfers. You got to give credit where credit's due.
Did you know that Kylie Fuhrbach used to play for Iowa State?
Yeah, I did. Yep, for 1 year. Yep. And I think her sister plays at she plays at some small school. But yeah, Kylie is a great defender. She's not a great shooter, but she's a great defender, and I think the team needs her and all that stuff. But yeah, Kylie's great. All those guys are great, and shout out Ava Hyde, man, what a dog she is. And like we said, I think she needs to work on, you know, just like pump faking and going up. I feel like she doesn't do enough of that. I feel like she's not like physical enough, you know what I mean? Where Stokey kind of like goes in and grabs you and goes in and like gets a layup. I feel like if Hayden were to do that a lot more, she'd score a lot more points. I think Jaden agrees with me too on that. That she'd be a little bit more aggressive. She's a great player, but if she were to just be a little bit more aggressive,
like back down,
pump, yeah, back down, like go in,
like, and some footwork.
Yeah, I think she'd be I think she'd be the next Megan Gufson. I'm not just saying that, but I think she is in line to become that, especially with Jan that played post, you know, coaches those posts up, and you can see with Monica Sonato how she did. I don't think I saw her dribble one time in her college career, not once. All she did was just like pump fake and go up. I think if Hayden were to do that, she'd score so much more points. And Hayden's taller than Monica. Monica was 6'3". It was 6'4". So I think that if Hayden were to do that, she'd score a ton more points. And like I said, she's a great player. But I'm just saying she needs some things she needs to work on. And yeah, so great win by the Hawks. And man, Iowa, man, what a disaster. Third straight in a row. They should have beaten Minnesota. Let's be honest. I was not watching that game. I was somewhere else. But let's all agree, they should have beaten Minnesota on the road. I mean, there's no excuse for, oh, Minnesota, they played well against good teams. Well, yeah, you are a good team. And if you pride yourself on defense, then why did they score a crap ton of points, right? And, man, it's frustrating. But
we kind of had those three shots at the end that could have won.
You know, we could have. And I think for a lot of Hawkeye fans, what they want to know is, why was Brendan Housen not playing more? I've been telling you, Brendan Housen should be starting. With his three-point, what he brings from a three-point perspective as a three-point shooter, he should be playing more. And if I'm Ben McCollum, yeah, I'm starting guys that fit my system. But here's what their lineup should be. Sturts, Housen, Tavion Banks, Alvaro Forgueras, and Cam Manuel. That's what the starting lineup should be. I've been telling you, Alvaro is a great player. He should be starting, right? He's a great big man. Housen, for what he brings from a three-point perspective, he should be starting too. You know, you need a three-point shooter that can help Bennett out, right? And Housen's that exact fit. He's what Iowa needs. And it's frustrating to me when Ben doesn't play him, right? Because he doesn't play him enough, right? Because I feel like we had games this year where we could have used Housen. We could have used Housen a lot, and he could have played. And I just, you know, Ben McCollum's a great coach. I'm not taking it away from him. But, like, if you know, play Brendan Housen more and play Trey Thompson more. Because watch Trey Thompson go into the portal and get back from another school and balls out of the other school. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I really wouldn't. I mean, watch that happen. I wouldn't be surprised one bit. Ben McCollum over the summer said, oh, he's young. He's way ahead of his time. If he's ahead of his time, then why aren't you playing him? Why aren't you playing him? If he's ahead of everybody, you should be playing him. Like, this dude, he's younger than me and you. This dude is 17. Just turned 18. You think about that for a minute?
Crazy.
Didn't even
That's like Ryan Williams in college.
Yeah. The dude didn't even... He's younger than... Well, let me say that one more time. He's younger than me, and I'm 18. And I'm going to be 19 here in March. He's younger than me. And why aren't you playing him? You know, Jaden, here's some unfortunate news. My classmate, Peyton McCollum, is out for the season.
Out for the season? What do you do?
Well, on the injury report on Facebook, I saw that he was out for the season. But he wasn't really going to play a whole lot of the season. But it would be nice to see... I think he'll redshirt, though. Time. Yeah, but, I mean, shout out Peyton McCollum, man. Great dude, great player. Wish you the best. I wish you the best in your recovery, man. Yeah, heal up well, and looking forward to next season with you. But
do they have brothers on the team, Jacob and Cooper?
No, they're not related. Oh. They're not related. I thought that they were, but yeah, I think Ben McCollum's younger son, Tate, is going to be even better than Peyton. You know, and he played 1 year at Northwest, obviously, you know, when McCollum was at Drake. And he plays for Solon now. He's great. I saw he's averaging like 29 points a game as a junior in high school for Solon. It's crazy. And yeah, man. So just really, really proud, you know, of how we fought. And you know, we you know, going into this year, like, we didn't expect a whole lot, right? You know, Fran got fired. We wanted that. And I still think Iowa will be a tournament team. I think they'll get it figured out. I think that they'll I trust Ben McCollum, you know, and the coach that he is. And but like I said, when Bennett Sturts is having an off night, you need that go-to score to back him up. And Iowa really doesn't have that. I mean, they really don't. I mean, it could be Housen if he would start him. I mean, Brennan Housen, look what he did against Iowa State last year. Did you see that shot that he hit? Mm-hmm. Like, why was he not in at those critical moments against Iowa State? That's what I want to know. And if a guy like that is going to commit to you, Ben McCollum last year at Drake shot a lot of threes. And that's what Brennan Housen is as a three-point specialist. Why is he not playing at crucial parts in the game? That's what I want to know. And Iowa plays, you know what's crazy? The two former Drake coaches, Iowa plays against Indiana, Darren DeVries. Darren DeVries has a great connection in Walking Northwest. You want to hear the connection here? So Darren DeVries' sister was my counselor at Northwest. And his daughters are Logan, or his nieces are Logan and Avery Vogt, who were on the volleyball team. And isn't that crazy? And his brother, I don't know if his older brother or his younger, what his brother Jared played football at Iowa. So there's a connection there between Iowa and Indiana. And it's going to be the Drake Bowl. You know, a lot of Drake fans are going to be tuned in because, you know, Darren DeVries, the coach before McCollum, was a coach there. And now McCollum was there for a year. And I think a lot of Drake fans feel betrayed that, you know, McCollum left them after 1 year after so much success. But, like, when it's your dream job, and, you know, Ben McCollum grew up an Iowa fan, like, if that was your dream job, would you want it? Yes, yeah, you would. I know you would.
I wouldn't.
And plus, it's a level up. But I don't blame Ben McCollum going up to Iowa. I mean, I wanted Ben McCollum from the start. I wanted Darren DeVries at first, but then I realized Ben McCollum's a lot younger of a coach, and he had 32 wins in his first year as Drake coach. It took Darren DeVries until I think like year five to win 31 games. Ben McCollum did that 1 year at Drake with 1 year, and those were all D2 guys. Most of those guys on the team were recruited highly, pretty well. And those were two-star guys. Ben McCollum did that with two-star guys. Darren DeVries had a son, Tucker, who was a four-star recruit, and he could never get to 31 wins until his fifth year at Drake. That shows you how good of a coach Ben McCollum is. But, Iowa against Indiana on Saturday. It'll be interesting to see.
Tucker plays, too, for Indiana?
Yeah, he's been... So, he played at Waukee with... Dude... Once you hear this team, you're going to think that this is like IMG.
Hubbaloo?
Okay, listen to this. This was a team for Waukee 1 year. So this is Peyton Sanford's senior year, Tucker DeVries' senior year. Omaha was a sophomore at the time. Price Sanford, Omaha Baloo, Peyton Sanford, Tucker DeVries, Cade Kelderman, all those guys are D1 players. All those guys. You could have a starting five of those guys, and they would dominate. And I'm disappointed because why Price Sanford left Iowa, because, you know, he went to Northwest, and I'm a diehard Northwest fan, and I'm an alum of Northwest. And it's very, I don't blame him, but, like, I think the one player, I'll give you two players that would have fit well in Ben McCollum's system had they stayed. I think Josh Dix, what he brings on defense, and I think Price Sanford with his three-point shooting would have helped Iowa tremendously. But don't you think, too, that Price Sanford would help Iowa? I think anybody, Josh
Where'd
Dix.
Where'd Peyton go?
He graduated.
Oh, yeah.
I love Peyton. Peyton's one of the most, you know, not the most athletic guy in the world. You know, you weren't seeing him like throw down flashy dunks.
He's basically like a Kate Martin, basically.
Yeah,
like a glue guy.
Yeah, but great 3-point shooter. I think one of the best 3-point shooters. He's not better than Jordan Bohannon, but he's right up there. One of the best 3-point shooters like in Iowa Hawkeye history. And he was a Fran McCaffrey guy. He was all there all 4 years, and it's great times, man. And Owen Freeman, too, he's doing terrible at Creighton, bro. Like, that's one example of, you know, chasing the money over playing. Like, if I've told you this time and time again, and I will say it time again and again, if you truly love the game of whatever sport you're playing, whatever sport it is, if you truly love it, you would stay where you're at, no matter if you're at JUCO, D1, D2, D3, MAC, MAC conference, whatever conference it is, people will find you. Right? I mean, you look at a guy like Max Crosby, he played in the MAC, and look how he's doing. Try to think of another example. Kurt Warner played at UNI. They found him.
And he went to the Iowa Barn Summer.
Yeah, he was bagging groceries at Hy-Vee. And that's one thing, too. I think Kurt Warner's mainly in Hall of Fame because of his story and where he came from. I mean, he was a great quarterback, but I don't think he didn't play. I mean, he was 27 or 28 when he was a rookie. Like, I'm not saying he wasn't a good quarterback, but I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, my dad told me this. I think he's more in the Hall of Fame because of his story and what, that's the reality of it, you know? What was I talking about before Kurt Warner?
You're talking about Owen Freeman.
Oh yeah. If you truly love the game, no matter what it is, you would stay because Max Crosby played in the MAC. Kurt Warner was undrafted, for God's sake, and people found him. Like, just because you're at a lower level,
that's doesn't just like Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, he was D2. He was at Ferris State. Like, just because you're at a lower level doesn't mean you have to go up and train. I get that you want to do it against the best players, but like if you're a good player at whatever level you're at, people will find you, right? And you see those guys that start at D2 or wherever they're at, and at MAC conference, Sunbelt, SWAC, whatever those conferences are, you see those guys at those lower level schools who ball out there and then they transfer and then do worse. Where it's like, hey, you should have stayed there and you could have gotten better. Or whereas, hey, I chased a bag and I didn't care about getting better, right? And I think college athletes nowadays, they care more about money than anything, and it's so frustrating because like, you're there because of football. You're there because you have talent as a football player. And if you truly, truly, truly love the game, you would stay. And my message to athletes out there is, like, people are going to find you. Like I just said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're deep. Look at Caden Wiegen. I mean, look at him. He was a 5'9", you know, lightning recruited guy from Iowa Western. And look how he turned out. The second best punt returner in Iowa history behind Tim DeWhite. You know? And, I mean, things like that where, you know, people will find you, right? My brother right now is not sure if he's going to go D1. You know, starting at JUCO is fine, right? There's nothing wrong with starting with JUCO or starting at D2, you know? And then eventually you can transfer to a D1 school and get better and showcase your talents, right? I think, like I said, kids lack, motivation to want to stay because I get when somebody's throwing you a bag of money to go there. It's kind of hard to reject that, but like, stay where you're at, man. Like, if you're balling out there, stay there because it's going to make you so much better. People will find you. Trust me.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of talent that goes, like, unseen if you stay down there. But if you work hard enough and you, like, stay the path, you're going to get seen.
Yeah. Like I said,
it may look grim and, like, you're never going to get drafted. And
like, look at Travis Kelce. He was okay in college. I mean, he started at quarterback. And then he switched to tight end. And look how that turned out. You know, and, okay, I have a question for you. If Travis Kelce was drafted by another team, do you think he'd be this good?
No.
I don't think he would either. I think he was good before Mahomes, like, but he wasn't like this good.
It's like Tom Brady and Gronk together. Like,
all right, here's another thing about Tom Brady. Me and my dad both agree on this. Here's two things about Tom Brady, actually. If Tom Brady was drafted by a different team, he would have been out of the league like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. If he was drafted by the Bears or the Panthers, he would have been a solid backup.
He would have never had his chance.
No, and he got so lucky. If Drew Bledsoe would never gotten hurt, nobody would know who Tom Brady is. That's just a fact. I'm not trying to hate on Tom Brady. I'm just saying that like nobody would know who Tom Brady is if Drew Bledsoe never got hurt. Right, I mean, nobody would. I mean, that's the reality of it, right? If Drew Bledsoe didn't take that hit, however many years ago, nobody would hear of Tom Brady, right? And I think Drew Bledsoe kind of felt betrayed because of how, you know, Patriots went. You know, he got hurt and he just was never the same after that. But yeah, man, it's But yeah, if you're an athlete out there, man, and you're balling out at your school, stay because it's gonna make it so much better. Like.
Unless you're like forced to go, like
I don't think you're really forced to.
No, like there's like certain circumstances, like you're getting pushed out of the school, or like they don't want you to play, or you're gonna get benched or something.
Yeah, I would say that, but like, why would you force a player? Yeah. I don't understand why you would do that.
Bad coaches.
That just like, oh, I'm gonna commit. I want to thank the coaches and the family. Yeah, the same coach that forced you out. Like that's just, you know, it's whatever. But like.
Or like the
even walk-ons too, like DJ Van Ami on Iowa, great example. He was a walk-on. Baker Mayfield was a walk-on. He wasn't a five-star recruit. He wasn't the most flashiest. He didn't have the best arm, and he won the Heisman Trophy. So there's always those guys. And Patrick Mahomes was a three-star recruit. He had offer. I think he had like three offers. He had I think I remember him saying this. If he didn't go to Texas Tech, he would have gone to Oklahoma State. And
Jay Jettas was like a two-star.
Yeah. And you know, there's both ways to this. I think Joe Burrow made him good, and Justin Jefferson made him good. There's both arguments to that. And, Jamar Chase was a four-star. I'm trying to think of other guys that were like... Travis Kelce was a two-star. I mean, he came in at Cincinnati as a quarterback. He switched to tight end, and DJ Vanami in high school played quarterback. And I think that's why DJ Vanami is so good, because, like, I think that's why Kelsey's good, too, is because, like, he knows what a quarterback is thinking, right? He knows what they're thinking, and, hey, I'm going to do what that quarterback thinks, and I'm going to do it, right? Because he played quarterback, right? He has to, you know, search the whole entire field, and he's doing that as a tight end. That's why people can't guard him, right? And just stay, right? I know it's hard. I know it's hard to turn down money, but, like, if you're balling out, you should stay where you're at, and, yeah, man. It's speaking of that, the transfer portal is getting so out of hand. I'm getting so annoyed by all these guys, man. Like we talked about the other day. Why is TJ Finley transferring seven different times? Like, bro, like I just said, this is a perfect example. Like, he was starting at these schools. Stay at those.